In your Bibles, in the book of Matthew and the 14th chapter, you will read the story of Jesus walking on the water. I'm going to ask you to follow me to verse 22 of that chapter. And there's one verse that I want to read to you before we begin to consider all of the surrounding verses. Verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. This is a very difficult thing, not for him, but for the disciples to do. The Bible says that he made them get into a boat. In some texts, it says he constrained them to get into a boat. And I think it's because of what they had experienced in that particular context. The Bible says that Jesus was doing great signs and wonders, that he was moved with compassion, and that he was healing men and women. So much so that he had gathered a great multitude around him. And when that great multitude had become hungry because they had been with Jesus for a certain amount of time, Jesus miraculously fed them. So he's speaking wonderful words to them. He's expressing great compassion toward them. He is working signs and wonders among them. He is performing healings among them. And he is feeding them miraculously, supernaturally. And he's doing all of this with the disciples by his side, particularly with the apostles, the 12 by his side. And he is using them in this process, particularly with regard to feeding the thousands upon thousands of people. He didn't give the food directly to the people. He gave the food to the apostles, who then gave the food to the people. And so they were being used mightily in the hands of God and in the sight of the people. So much so that they were able to pick up fragments of bread, 12 baskets full that were left, and in a very real sense, they were made aware, made tangibly, physically aware of the fact that God was working wonderfully in their lives and doing great things in their lives. And so it would have been hard for them to move away from that and to simply go where Jesus told them to go. It would have been hard for them to move away from the excitement of it. It would have been hard for them to move away from the novelty of it. This was something new. This was something different. This was something apparently otherworldly. This was miraculous, and they were right smack in the middle of it. And all of a sudden, the Lord is simply sending them away, not even telling them where they're going. It must have been hard for them to do it. But I think they were able to do it, at least with the knowledge that God was using them. They were obviously in the will of the Lord. Obviously, they were seeing the benefits of being with Jesus. And so they, in obedience, moved where he asked them to go. So now they have this whole world swirling around them, a world of truths swirling around them, that God can use me, and that God has manifested his love through me, and that I am in obedience to him, not only when I'm serving, but when I'm simply going where he asks me to go. So they were in a pretty good position. So now the question is, why did the Lord send them into a storm? Because there was no question about the fact that as far as they were concerned, everything was going wonderfully. But the Lord seemed to constrain them to go into a time of significant trial, a time of significant hardship, a time of confusion, a time of wonder, a time of worry, and a time of fear. He sends them into these waters. Now, these were seasoned fishermen. This would not have been the first storm that they had seen. They would have seen many, many storms. But this storm was different. One of the ways that we know it was different was because when they saw Jesus walking on the water toward them, they cried out, "It's a spirit." So they moved from fear to terror because they saw this storm as something spiritual. They knew this was not a regular storm. It was like the fires that were heated up seven times hotter than they were wont to be, as we read about in the book of Daniel. They knew this wasn't a regular storm. Something was happening in the heavenlies. You know how sometimes you go through ordinary, difficult times and you say, "I'm a Christian, but that doesn't mean I'm exempt from difficulty. That doesn't mean that I'm exempt from hardship. I go through difficulties just like everybody else." But then there are other times when you say, "This is because I'm a Christian. This is a spiritual thing." But what they had forgotten was the fact that the Lord was the one who constrained them to go into it. So when they said, "It is a spirit," the Lord said two things to them. One, "Don't be afraid." And the other, "It is I." You see, sometimes we go through difficulties, we go through hardships, and we realize it is something spiritual. But we don't always remember that it was the Lord who sent us into certain struggles. That doesn't mean that the enemy doesn't try to exploit it. But it does mean that there are times when the Lord is trying to temper us. He's trying to balance us. Because sometimes when we see the great things that God is doing in our lives and through our lives, sometimes we can lose perspective. And sometimes we can get caught up in all of the things that are happening that we forget that there are still things that need to happen in us. Sometimes we get so caught up in things that are happening through us, we forget that there are things that need to happen to us and things that need to happen in us. And so sometimes the Lord will send us into a thing and we remember the Lord constrained us to go, but we forget why. And so when the storms come, we forget the fact that he sent us. So when they saw somebody walking on the water, it didn't occur to them that the Lord told us that he would meet us. The Lord sent us out and told us that he would soon follow. It never occurred to them that the Lord was still with them. At that stage, it is a spirit. The Lord said, "Don't be afraid." Now, what that means is if the Lord sends you into a struggle, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." So the Lord sends us sometimes into battle, sometimes into hardship, sometimes into struggle, sometimes into difficulty. But he says to us, "If I'm the one who is orchestrating your life, if I'm the one who is constraining you so that I can develop a balance in you because I want to so greatly use you, then you don't have anything to be afraid of. He said, do not be afraid. And then he said, it is me. It might not seem like it's me all the time. Right? It seemed like it was me when the compassion was going forth. And it seemed like it was me when the bread was being broken. And it seemed like it was me when the healings were happening. And when I was using you. But sometimes you have to remind yourself that I am also your father. And I reserve the right to chastise. I reserve the right to purify. I reserve the right to strengthen you in the fires of affliction sometimes. Because I want to use you that much more. In a very real sense, he could have said to his disciples and did say to his disciples, you think that you've seen something in chapter 14, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Where do you get to chapter 28? And I begin to send you out to win men and women and make disciples of them. Where do you begin to see Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4? Where do you see what I want to do in your life? You ain't seen nothing yet. But sometimes we have got to go into those kinds of fires and sometimes into those kinds of waters. Now, when the Lord said, it's me, when he said, don't be afraid, Peter said something that blows me away. You got to understand, they are in this storm all night long. The Bible says Jesus didn't come to them until it was right about dawn. It was still dark out, but it was just about dawn. He comes to them. They are fighting for their lives. They don't know if they're going to make it to the dawn. The sun hasn't risen yet. The light hasn't come yet. The dawn hasn't happened yet. And they don't know if they're going to make it. And they see Jesus coming. Now, you have to understand, he's walking on the waves. This is not a placid lake. He is walking on the waves, and they are beating, and they are blowing, and I don't know how it's happening, but he's doing it. I don't know what it looks like, but he's doing it. He's walking on these waves that are making seasoned fishermen tremble. And as he's walking on those waves and he identifies himself, Peter says something that blows me away. I would never have thought to say that. Here's what he said. He said, if it's you, bid me come to you on the waters. Right? Now, what I would have said was, if it's you, calm these waters. You know what I mean? Because that's what we usually say, right? If it's you, let me feel some peace about this, right? We always look at our situation and we wonder if God is calling me to this, or if God is calling me to that, or if God is doing this in my, and God is doing that. We always say, here's how I'll know it's you. Let there be a peace about it. Man, oh man, that was going on for like the last 10, 15 years. I don't know how that got popular, but everybody was saying that. Man, here's how I know God has done it, because there's a peace about it. You know what I mean? Now, let me explain something to you. There is peace and then there's peace. You know what I mean? There's the kind of peace that says there's never going to be any struggles, never going to be any hardship, never going to be any challenges. That's not the kind of peace you and I want to talk about. There is a peace that passes understanding. But sometimes that peace can happen in the midst of some of the most serious turbulence and serious tribulation. Now, Peter says something that I really believe is the truest indication that God is in a thing. And here it is, very simple. If it's you, then draw me to yourself, irrespective of the storm. Here's how I'll know that it's the hand of the Lord. Not that there's some superficial peace, but that there is a supernatural drawing to Christ so that I'm walking toward him even if there is no other peace. I'm walking toward him even if the winds are still blowing. I'm walking toward him, even if the waves are still crashing. If it's you, bid me come to you. If it's you, it literally says, command me to come to you. Order me to come to you. Make me come to you. If it's you, make me come to you, no matter how difficult the situation. If it's you, make me come to you, no matter how significant the hardship. If it's you, make me come to you, no matter what my flesh wants to do. No matter what my fears want to do. No matter what my doubts want to do. If there is a kind of peace, that's fine. But what I want is the Prince of Peace. If it's you, draw me to you. You can always tell when you're moving according to God's will because you persist in worship no matter what the situation. You persist in praise no matter how difficult the trial. If God is in this, if it's you, cause me to worship you. Cause me to praise you. Cause me to honor you. Cause me to love you. Cause me to be drawn to you. Cause me to call upon your name no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation happens to be. See, I would have said, if it's you, calm the waters. If it's you, bring us about a certain kind of peace. And then, of course, I would have defined the peace by my own standards. If there's no difficulty, if there's no hardship, if there's no opposition, if there's no tribulation, then I'll know that God is in it. No. That's not the way it works. The children of Israel would have never made it through the wilderness had they thought like that. And in fact, when they chose to think like that, they didn't make it, and the next generation did. Now, I'm absolutely in awe of Peter's decision, but it goes beyond that. He sees the waves, and I would imagine that from his perspective now, because he used to be in the boat and now he's on the water, so they must look, humongous. And he's right in the midst of it. You talk about out of the frying pan and into the fire, right? He's in the midst of it. And you know what? Say if I was able to pray the kind of prayer that Peter prayed, right? Now, none of us can do anything in our own strength, but you understand my point. Say I did say, okay, if it's you, let me come to you in the waters. I would probably think at that stage that if I started in the direction of coming to Jesus, even in the midst of the storm, I would think that at that stage then, the peace would begin to come. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, Lord, all right. I chose to praise you in difficulty. I chose to call upon your name in hardship. I chose to worship you no matter what. Shouldn't things begin to calm down now? You know what I mean? Because that's the way we think sometimes. At least that's the way I think sometimes. My thought is, all right, I didn't stay in the boat. I came out. And I elected to be drawn by you. As in, I elected to be elected. I elected to be drawn by you. Shouldn't things start to calm down now? And I think he was discouraged, the way sometimes you and I can be, when we choose to praise through difficult times and the times seem to get more difficult. Because somewhere along the line, another trend in our church, somebody told me and somebody told you that if you just happen to praise during difficult times, then everything is going to calm down. That's not the way it works. You and I are supposed to praise through difficult times, but that doesn't mean things going to get easy. Right? It doesn't mean, at least not yet, because maybe there's something else he wants to show us. Maybe there's something else he wants to say. So Peter sees the waves and the wind and this and that, and everything just seems to be getting worse. And now he's right smack in the middle of it. And he just begins to lose heart. He begins to become discouraged. But he does something else that's wonderful. And again, that just blows me away. He does the wisest, the smartest, and probably exemplifies the most power, if you will, any human being can ever have. And it's very simply, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. There is nothing that you and I can ever do in our lives that will elicit more power. We have nothing else. That is the definition of our power. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, we don't have a big S on our chest. Only thing we have on our chest is, Lord, help me. That's all we have. That's all we need. This man is beginning to be drawn under, and he just cries out, Lord, help me. Because I chose to be drawn by you because you gave me the power to make that kind of a choice. And I chose to walk to you in an impossible situation, and you gave me the power to do that. And I chose to take whatever baby steps I was allowed to take, and I just took it for granted that somehow, as I began to walk to you, everything would calm. But it hasn't. And it's scary. And so now I'm simply crying out, Lord, help me. And I can imagine this man's prayer. You got to understand, that was a prayer. And there were different kinds of prayers that we pray. You know what I mean? And some of our prayers sound a little, you know, a little noble there, you know, a little King Jamesy, and you know what I'm talking about? A few these and thous. This wasn't one of those kind of prayers. You know what I'm saying? This was a Lord, help me! Because there was nothing else. There was no one else. There was no recourse. Nothing. But God. You see, when you and I choose to praise God no matter what the situation, and we choose to be drawn to Him no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the hardship, when we decide that we are going to praise Him and nothing is going to stop us, then we put ourselves in a situation where there is no plan B. In the world, they tell you, don't put all your eggs in one basket. But in Christ, we have put all of our eggs in one basket. Hallelujah. There is no plan B. Either Jesus is God or He is not. And He is God and we are not. And it's all right for us to put all of our hope in Him and all of our trust in Him. And all we need is Him. So he cries out, and what happens? Jesus just snatches his hand and pulls him out. Just snatches his hand and pulls him out. And then he asks him a question. The question is simple. Why did you doubt, O ye of little faith? Why did you doubt? Now, what was he asking them about the doubt? Was he asking them, why did you doubt your ability to walk on water? Come on. He's like, who in the world doesn't doubt his ability to walk on water? I know I don't want to meet anybody who ain't got a problem with that physically. Do you know what I mean? If I ask a guy, can you walk on water, and he says yes, he won't be invited to lunch, right? You know what I mean? He might be a good guy, but you understand my point? I don't think Jesus was devastated by the fact that the man was afraid that he might sing. I think the question goes back to what Jesus was asked in the first place. What Peter said was, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the waters. In other words, here is Peter, here is Jesus, this is the waters. His prayer was, let me come to you and let nothing stand between me and you. Let nothing separate me from the love of God. No winds, no rains, no billowing waves, nothing, nothing. If it's you, draw me to yourself, even if I have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Even if I have to walk through the Red Sea or on the Sea of Galilee. If it's you, draw me to yourself and let there be absolutely nothing that can stop me from worshiping you. If it's you, make it so that no hardship, no trial, no difficulty, nothing. No lie or attack of the devil, nothing. No bad news, no sad news, nothing. No past, no present, no future, nothing. No demons, no angels, nothing. Nothing, as Paul said. Nothing to separate me from the love of God. And what Jesus was saying, in essence, is what made you think that if I bid you come, that anything can swallow you up? What made you think that if I am drawing you to myself, that anything can stop you as you're walking? You think about that. You think about the fact, say you have a little child, a toddler, and you're teaching your little child to walk, and you're standing there like this for your little child to walk to you. In your mind, is there anything that is going to stand between you and your child? And what the Lord is saying is, you don't have to doubt. If I'm calling you to myself, if I'm drawing you to worship, if I'm drawing you to praise, nothing is going to stand between you and me. Nothing is going to stand between you and God if you simply pray the prayer that Peter prayed. If it's you, Lord, if you're drawing me to this, if you're drawing me to this kind of worship, if you're drawing me to this kind of love, if you're drawing me to this kind of life, bid me come to you in these kinds of waters. And then, brother and sister, as Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't doubt. Nothing is going to stand between you and the love of God. Nothing is going to stand between you and the kind of worship that you're believing God for. Nothing is going to stand between you and the kind of relationship that you believe in God for. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And if you find yourself being pulled under, or it feels like that, right? Just rip open. There ain't going to be no S there. You understand? It's just going to be, Jesus, help me. Because that's our strength. That's all we have. That's all we have. Jesus, help me. I told you about that story at that time when I was first learning how to drive. Anybody hear that story? I stopped first learning how to drive, and I'm driving down Colfax Avenue in Colorado. It's like the busiest street in Denver. And it was at the busiest time of day. It had to be between 5 and 6 o'clock in the evening. And I had only been driving for about 2 weeks. Well, I come to this intersection, and this person pulls out. I barely see them in time to turn my wheel and try to skid around them. and then to try and hit my brake before I move back into traffic. Unfortunately, instead of hitting the brake, I hit the accelerator. You know what I mean? And when I hit the accelerator, I hit it hard. You know what I mean? Because I just thought it was the brake. And I hit that thing hard and kept hitting it harder and harder and harder. And I didn't understand why I kept going faster and faster and faster. So now I'm hitting 80, right? You know what I mean? And I'm on this busy street and I am zipping through the cars. I feel like I'm on some sort of a video game. You know what I mean? And I'm all up on the sidewalk and oh my goodness. And I'm hitting this and I'm hitting that. But I don't hit anybody, thank God. I don't hit any cars, thank God. But I did hit a building, you know what I mean? And I kept moving and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, I realized, my goodness, I can't stop this thing. Eventually, I'm going to hit somebody. You know what I mean? And now all this is happening in a split second. And the only thing that I could do at that stage was, Jesus, help me. I mean, I'm holding onto the steering wheel, and all of a sudden, it felt as though somebody took my leg and lifted it from the accelerator and slapped it on the brake, and I spun out. It was remarkable. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. And I wound up facing oncoming traffic, and I'm telling you, the tread marks, they went about a block and a half, you know what I mean? And the cops couldn't believe it when they saw. Now the point I'm making is all I had was Jesus. Help me! Help me! Help me! And he stretched out his hand the same way he did with Peter. And he pulled me out. And in essence, he said to me, did you think for a split second even that anything, I was on my way to church actually, that's the strangest part of it, that anything is going to come between you and me? Do you think any hardship, any difficulty, any financial trouble, any struggle, any medical issues, you think anything is going to stand between you and God? Nothing. 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 Nothing will stand between you and the love of God. There's no doubt about it. God is who he said he is. And you are who God said you are. Amen. Hallelujah. And nothing is going to stand between you and God's faithfulness. Nothing's going to stand between you and God's love. So we pray the same prayer that Peter prayed. Well, Peter prayed two prayers, and we pray both those prayers, right? If it's you, if you're in this thing, if you're doing this thing, if you're drawing me in, then let me come to you on the waters. Now, you know the waters were eventually calmed. They got back in the ship, and the waters were eventually calmed, and they got to where they were going, just like you and I will. God brings a certain kind of peace, but sometimes it's after he brings us through some difficult times, because, again, he wants to use us in ways that will make the ways that he has used us in the past seem like, you know, a training camp. Every single one of us to win our loved ones, to pray for our neighbors, to speak a word in season to that person who's weary. He wants to use us. He wants to help other people through us. He wants to help us to feed people, to reach out to the poor, to go on short-term missions trips and sometimes long-term. He wants to use us and do things through us to comfort and to befriend and to love and to nurture and to care. And as he's doing those things to us, and as he's helping us to grow as individuals and as a community and to win the lost, there'll be some times when he says, but you know, I have to temper certain things, and every now and again I'll have to bring you through a stage or two just to give you a nice healthy balance. Times like that, here's how we pray. That's fine, Lord, as long as I can worship you with all my heart and all my soul in the midst of it. as long as I can worship you with everything that I am. And if we feel like we're being sometimes swallowed up by that, we think that peace should have happened or a calm should have happened. Times like that, if you feel like you're being swallowed up, don't try to figure out a grand formula. Just say, Jesus, help me. I can't do this in my own strength. Help me. I don't have any strength in myself. Help me, because I want to worship you. I want to love you. I want to bless you. I want to be used by you. And I can only do that if you give me the grace. Now, I want to pray with you tonight, because there's some people in this room who are going through a difficult time. And there is at least an inclination in you to say, Lord, if you're in this, would you please bring a certain calm, a certain peace? Now, he will give you a peace that passes understanding. He is the Prince of Peace. But the circumstances around you might not change immediately. Within, there will be change, but without, around you, we might have to go through a few more days of difficulty, a couple more minutes of hardship. But here's what I want to pray with you. Lord, make me come to you. Draw me with your love. Constrain me to come to you, even in the midst of the waters. Help me, Lord, because I can't do this in my own strength. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. If God is speaking to you and you want to pray, Lord Jesus, draw me to you even in difficulty, even in hardship, even in trial, draw me to you. Help me, Lord, because I can't do this in my own strength. If you want to pray, my brothers and my sisters, would you come to the front of this auditorium? And we will pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus on the ground floor of the balcony. We'll wait for you. We'll stand side by side, one with another. Remind ourselves that we're not alone, that we have a family. We'll pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful thing. The Bible says that it was right before the dawn that the Lord came. Right before the dawn. And I honestly believe that there are times when God will allow us to go through a night of difficulty, if you will, because there is a dawn coming. It's something that the Lord is looking to do. Some places he's looking to take us. Some lives he's looking for us to impact. And we have got to allow him to draw us into worship, even in those places where he needs to do just some work in our heart to prepare us for those times and to prepare us for those places. The key is to worship him in it. And if it's difficult, then just cry out, Lord, help me, because that's our strength. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much that our only strength is Jesus Christ, that we can cry out to you day or night. We can do it in our conscious situation or in our unconscious situation. We can do it in our sleep when the enemy tries to fill our minds with bad dreams and all kinds of lies. We can cry out to you anytime. Every time, Lord, and there is never a time when you don't hear us. Lord, our prayer is very simple. Give us victory over any doubt that would even remotely suggest that if we ask you to draw us to yourself, that there is anything that can stand between us and you. Lord, overcome every lie of the devil. So that we know that if we seek you, you will be found of us. Hallelujah. If we say, Lord, draw me to you. If we say, constrain me to come. Lord, there's nothing in heaven or earth, nothing Nothing, nothing. No angels, no powers, no principalities, no devils. Nothing, 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 nothing. Nothing of our own flesh. Nothing, nothing, nothing. As long as we're crying out to you, as long as we're saying, Jesus, help me, as long as we're saying, you make me come, you draw me, you constrain me by your grace, by your power, by your name, by your strength, you draw me, oh God. As long as we're praying that kind of a prayer, and you give us that prayer, you teach us that prayer. In your word, you teach us, and by your spirit, you teach us. You teach us to pray that way. And as long as we pray that way, Lord, there is nothing, nothing that can stand between us and the love of God. And we have no doubt about it. We know that you're faithful, that you're good, that you're just. And so we thank you, O Jesus, for your wonderful presence. Thank you for the privilege of loving you and worshiping you, even through life's difficulties. Thank you that we can cry, Jesus, help me. And at any given time, you will stretch out your hand and you will pull us out and you will bring us into the boat and you will bring peace and you will bring us to the other side. And we believe you for this, O Jesus. And we love you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you so much. The Lord Jesus be with you.
Praise God. You know, folks, you just heard a wonderful, wonderful truth tonight. You know, the Lord will allow these. When I was a police officer, part of the training is that you simulate the event before it happens so that you don't make a mistake. In other words, you're trained in a simulated event for something that's coming down the road. And I was thinking as you're speaking, Pastor William, you know, when Peter was potentially being trained for Gethsemane because a much greater storm was one day coming his way, and when he was going to flee and he was going to deny the fact that he'd ever known Jesus and he was going to run away and weep bitterly, and you better believe he must have prayed, Lord, help me, and suddenly remembered when he was in that other storm and remembered that it was the hand of God that pulled him out. Because somehow from that moment, we don't know how, but he ends up in that upper room in John chapter 21. He's back with the disciples. He's back in a place of prayer because he had to remember the lesson he learned, that in failure, God still remains faithful. And whatever he's causing us to go through now, we might have to go through something much greater in the days ahead, but there'll be a strength of God. There'll be a trust in the faithfulness of God that's been worked inside of us. And we will have, without that training, folks, if the only storm we hit is the one that's coming 2 years down the road from now, we could be in trouble. Thank God he prepares us now. He takes us through classrooms. He makes us ready. He deepens our trust in him. And we've learned that again this evening. Thank God. Marvelous message. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Lord, help us to see your hand in everything, Lord, because your word does say all things work together for good. Lord, every storm, every trial, every fire, every place where we have to believe you for bread on our table, whatever it is, Lord, we have to believe you for, all things are working together for your plan that you have for each of us, that we'll be able to stand in the coming days, and having done all, to continue standing. Father, we thank you for it. Thank you for creating a dependence on you in our hearts. And Lord, a trust in the fact that you do not fail those who place their confidence in you. You cannot be anything but faithful because that's who you are. Lord, we thank you, God, for keeping us. Thank you for preparing us. Thank you, Lord. There's no storm coming our way that's going to drown us in the days ahead. Lord, you have a people, and we will stand. We will, Lord. We will stand in the coming days. And, Father, we thank you for it, and we praise you in the mighty and unmatchable name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Be encouraged tonight. Go in the strength of Christ. And don't be afraid to pray, Lord, help me. That's been the greatest prayer of my whole life. From the time I got saved till today, I still pray it about 15 times a day. Lord, help me. It's a phenomenal prayer. God bless you. We'll see you on Thursday night.